Chapter 37. Like all good ambushes, this one came at a time and place where they least expected it. Solon and Regnus and his men had made it down the mountains, over the central plains, and had come within 2 miles of Cenaria's sprawling northern edge. Duke Gyre and his men were between 2 wide rice paddies on the raised road when they came upon a man leading a cart horse. Several peasants were working in the paddies, but they were dressed simply, trouser legs rolled up to their knees, obviously devoid of armor or weapons. The carter pulled his old horse to the side, looking at the men in armor intently. Solon should have noticed it earlier, of course. Peasants didn't wear long sleeves into the paddies, but it wasn't until he was within 20 paces of the carter that he saw it. The Verdmeister dropped the horse's reins and brought his wrists together, green fire roaring down his veer and filling each hand. He clapped his wrists together, and witchfire spurted forward. The witchfire hit the guard to Solon's left and went right through him. The magic was designed to melt off in layers like an icicle as it punched through each man. It was the size of a man's head as it went through the first man, then the size of a man's fist as it hit the second, then the size of a man's thumb as it hit the third. In an instant, all three were dead, flames roaring off their flesh, burning on the blood that spilled out of the men as if it were oil. A second later, witchfire hit the guards from each side as a Verdmeister on either side of the road hurled death into their midst. Another 3 men dropped. That left Solon, Duke Gyre, and 2 guards. It was a tribute to the men's discipline that they did anything at all, but Solon knew they were doomed. 1 guard rode right. Duke Gyre and the other guard rode left, leaving Solon to take care of the Verdmeister on the road. Solon didn't move. The Verdmeister had set their ambush so they'd have ample time to get off 2 or 3 balls of witchfire. 12 swordsmen were no match for 3 witches. There was no time to weigh the consequences, not even time to draw the sunlight streaming onto the paddies into magic. Solon drew directly on his Glorvürden and threw 3 tiny sparks through the air. They flew as fast as arrows, and somehow avoided hitting the Duke or his guards. Both Verdmeisters were gathering green fire again as the sparks, each hardly as big as a fingertip, touched their skin. They weren't even close to lethal. Solon didn't have enough magic to face even 1 Verdmeister alone, much less all of them together. But the sparks shocked them. A small shock, but enough to tense their muscles for a second and totally break their concentration. Before they could gather their wits, 3 swords descended with all the force of 3 galloping horses and 3 battle-hardened arms, and the 2 witches to either side of the road died. Solon threw the spark at the witch on the road last, and the man blocked it. Indeed, it wasn't so much blocking as merely snuffing. The spark flew toward him and then died, as if it were a fiery twig being dropped in the ocean. His counterattack was a gush of fire that roared toward Solon with the sound and rage of a dragon's breath. There was no blocking it. Solon flung himself from the saddle and threw another spark as he fell to the ground and rolled off the road. The witch didn't even bother to quench the sparks as it flew a good 10 feet wide of him. He turned, bridling almost 50 feet of fire as if it were a living thing, and turned it in his hands to follow Solon. The spark hit the cart horse's flank. The old beast was already terrified by the blood, the sounds, and the flash of unnatural fire. It jerked against the cart and then reared and lashed out with its hooves. The Verdmeister never even heard the horse's whinny beneath the roar of flames. 1 second, he was raining the stream of fire down the bank of the road onto Solon, and the next, a hoof caught him in the back. He dropped on all 4s, not knowing anything but that something was terribly wrong. He gasped and turned to see the horse regain its balance. Then horse and cart ran right over the man, crushing him into the road. Solon pulled himself out of the water and mud of the rice paddy as the cart horse ran as it must not have run in 10 years. His own horse was dead, of course, its skull a smoking ruin, and the smell of burnt hair and cooked meat mingling over its half-ruined corpse. The witchfire was barely smoldering on the bodies of the dead guards now. Even as he watched, it guttered out. Witchfire spread horribly fast, but only lasted about 10 seconds.
10 seconds? Has it only been that long?
The sound of hooves brought Solon back into reality. He looked up at Duke Gyre, whose face was still and hard.
"You're a mage," the Duke said.
"Yes, my lord,"
Solon said heavily. The lines were written now by Solon's silence. The Duke had no choice. Confronted with such a surprise, a more clever man would have pretended to have known Solon was a mage all along. Then he could have decided what to do with him later. Duke Gyre was too straightforward for that. It was his strength and his weakness.
"And you've been reporting on me to other mages?"
Only to friends, my lord."
It was weak, and it made him sound weak to say it, Solon knew. But he couldn't imagine that it could all disappear like this. Surely his friendship with Regnus, surely 10 years of service, were worth more than this.
"No, Solon," Duke Gyre said. "Loyal vassals don't spy on their lords. You've saved my life this day, but you've been betraying me for years. How could you?"
"I wasn't."
"For my life, I give you yours. Begone. Take one of the horses and go. If I ever see your face again, I'll kill you."
"Stay with him," Dorian had said. "His life depends on it. A kingdom depends on it. By your word or silence, a brother king lies dead."
But he'd never said how long Solon had to serve his Lord Gyre, had he? Solon bowed low in front of his friend and took a bridle from Gurdon, who looked too stunned for emotion. Solon mounted and turned his back on Lord Gyre.
"Did I save Cenaria today, or doom it?"